Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI FM Minneapolis St. Paul, online and archived at kfai.org, the community's true voice.
Hello, welcome back. This is Abdurizak Bihi from Somali Link Radio at KFAI FM 90.3 FM. And you can always listen to KFAI Radio 24/7 at kfai.org. What a beautiful Tuesday. So much snow, and it looks like so Minnesota. A lot of people have been complaining about lack of snow, but hey, here we are. We have such beautiful snow everywhere, and also we're going to warm you up because we have a great event. We're starting the spring with a lot of amazing events, and if you want to come out and participate in these great amazing events to start the beautiful season that's coming up, we have great things for you. First of all, we have it's Ramadan. It's that month of the Muslims fast from morning to evening up to 8 o'clock, and we've covered Ramadan last, I think, a week or two ago, and I believe it's going to end on the Eid holiday, might be the 9th or 10th or maybe the 8th of April, because it's another calendar, it's a lunar, so it could be any of those days. I'm not a scholar or expert on the matter, but anyway, we have great things for you. In Ramadan, one of the great things I love is that the communities get together and eat or break fast together. And the most important thing in our community is to come together, young, all of all people, not only Muslims, not only East Africans. We invite everyone. It's a public event. We encourage non-Muslims, non-East African community members, neighbors to come and get to know your neighbors. Eat beautiful and delicious meal together in a gymnasium. The most famous gymnasium in West Bank is at the Brian Coyle Community Center. Brand new, always beautiful, and it's decorated with all these tables. It's really amazing to be there and breakfast or eat together with the community. One of those events, it's coming up on April 4th, and it's kind of becoming annual, and it's hosted and funded and really worked it and planned it by the Youth Council, Cedar Riverside Youth Council, right here at Brian Coyle Community Center. And this year it's going to happen April 4th. You can come in from 6:30 or 6 o'clock, but the breaking fast will happen around 7:30. So please come and join us. Also, I have here Coach Weber, who is not a stranger in this studio and has been our coach and a youth programmer and teacher and many things, parent in this community for almost 2 decades. And also we have one of the youth council members, Mohammed, who has been in this studio before too. And also we are expecting the president of the youth council, Mahat, to come in. You know, the school buses are taking longer. It's really snowing in Minneapolis right now. So, Coach Weber and Mohammed, welcome.
Thanks for having us here.
Welcome, Mohammed.
Thanks for having me.
Coach, it's that time of the year. The snow is happening a lot, but it's going to go away, and we're going to have a lot of community activities. But before we go into the near future, tell me, I always come almost every day to the Brian Coyle gym, and it's busy. There are so many young people, young men and women. There are basketball. Tell me about those tournaments and all those programs that have been happening, such as the Cedar Riverside Community Traveling Basketball. I participated one day, the volleyball, the Thursdays, for adults, pick up one. Also, we have other programs, Winter Break. I have seen the Winter Break, and I believe there's a Spring Break that's coming up. So please give us a general idea of what was happening at the Brian Coyle and with you and the community youth.
Well, Brian Coyle really is in a renaissance right now. They're just have more and more programming all the time, have become what they were always intended to be, and that is a hub for the community and a place that has services from the time you're born till the time you're leaving this world. And so it's a place for everyone from our little babies to our elders to be. And we've really done a tremendous job with Amano and our youth director, Julie Graves, and the rest of the staff that's there in the building, just in creating calendars and spaces and places for everyone to be able to be in the building. It's always been the gym. The gym is the jewel of the building for sure. But we have youth spaces now that haven't existed in a really long time that are a hub for after school to come and not just have homework help, but also to have just enrichment programming, because so many of our kids just need that exposure to different activities, to different opportunities, and that is really what we're trying to provide there. So a place and space for everyone is really what we're talking about. And I was moved the other day, our CEO from Pillsbury United, she talked about how if you love it, it will show. And I thought about the building. Mostly I thought about our youth. I think about our elders. And I just think about our community and how much that I love our community here at Cedar Riverside. And for the last 14 years, it seems weird to think about that a lot of the kids that I have coming through now were just being born when I first came to the community. But there's so much love for the community. And through the pandemic and all the things that have happened over the last, you know, 5-6 years, it hasn't been showing in the way that it should. And I think that's what that renaissance that I'm talking about is that it's showing now. It's showing. If we love it, we're going to come and we're going to make the building and the park beautiful. All of the upgrades that Park Board has done to have the splash pad instead of the pool, and redoing the path so the elders can walk, and the spaces in the building and stuff. It's all, if we love it, it will show. And I really want that message to go out to the larger community of how can, and a call out of how can you help it show? Because Brian Coyle is the centerpiece of the community, and it's a place for everybody to be. And so we have all of these programs from our little kids programs. We have a family and an education class on Tuesdays from 10 to noon for any families with children that aren't in school yet to come use the gym, be active. There's no big kids in there. It's just the little kids, and we play and we have the best time. And then the parents split off and they go and they have their time with their parent educator and myself and some of the interns from Augsburg. We have time to work with the kids, and we have snack and playtime, more playtime, and just that's what little kids need, right? And then we have Thursday is our adult volleyball program, and volleyball is king right now. Everyone thinks soccer or basketball, but volleyball is exploding in popularity. It's now a Minnesota State High School League boys sport as well as a girls sport, so it's something for our young people to be involved in. But volleyball is really one of those lifelong sports that at any age you can play in some capacity, and it's just a great time. During Ramadan right now, it's from 5 to 7 because we've moved it up so everyone can get home to have dinner with their family and break their fast. But once Eid happens, after that it'll go back to 6 to 8 p.m. and man, I have to chase them out of the gym to have them leave because they just want to keep playing. And all ages are welcome. It's amazing the age mix that we have in there. We have, of course, our basketball programming and stuff, and we're just heating up right now for spring and our traveling seasons. We're gonna have We're back to traveling out of state for our older teams, so we have a really big tournament, our first really, really big tournament since probably before the pandemic. We're going to be playing in Indianapolis. We have a great 16U team that is putting the work in, getting the practices, starting strength and conditioning and stuff with our partner over at Donkey Label over next to Ann Sullivan School, and he provides the gym for us. Bruce is just an amazing guy and provides that space, and he's trained some of our guys that have played for us in the past, and they are now mentors and trainers, and so we're building this force there. We also have more for the little kids. We have Fit and Fun on Fridays, and that's from 3 to 4:30, and another time for our younger kids to get in the gym without the big kids. And then we have our Level Up after school program that is been so needed. And you know, Brian Quayle lost a grant back in 2016, and there hasn't been that steady after school presence since then. And now it's back, it's funded, it's creating, like I said, spaces and places for our kids. And then, you know, we got to get back to the elders walking club and those things that we used to do in the past as well. But hopefully we have a really robust summer program that's coming up too. And so it's just so much going on. The place is busy.
Yeah, a lot of people just pass by or drive by or walk by on their way to the train station or maybe to the Vikings game. And the building looks, if you pretend like one of them and walk by, the building looks small with a nice parking, but small, and nobody can guess how big and how busy it is. And do you invite the community members who wants to volunteer, who wants to bring their kiddies? Are these programs only for East Africans, or everybody's welcome?
It's really for everyone. From volunteering to participating in our programming, we have, I would say, the most diverse group of people that are coming all the time. Our youth programming is more and more diverse all the time as well. And we're open to everybody. That if you're coming through the doors and you're part of the community, or if you want to be part of the community, just come on over. And the doors are open there, Brian Quayle, so come in and let us know how you'd like to get involved.
Thank you, Coach. Mohammed, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Tell me who you are at the Youth Council.
I'm a member of the Youth Council, and I recently came back from Africa, not now, but I did not get a role on it, but I've been here and there in the Youth Council. I've been helping out, but I'm a member, one of the youngest members actually. I'm in eighth grade, and I am enrolled in a lot of programs in the community center. I play basketball over there, and I come to after school sometimes, and I just hang out on Team Tech, but yeah, it's all I got.
Mohammed, you were born in Minneapolis, right?
Yeah.
And when did you travel to East Africa?
I traveled to East Africa this summer. My mom took me as a vacation this summer to Africa to see where I got my roots from, and to see some of my family members. Yeah.
Mohammed, so you say in Africa. Africa is huge. Where in Africa did you visit?
I visited Nairobi and Somalia.
Oh, so you went to Nairobi, that's Kenya, right?
Yeah.
And did you go to Somalia?
Yeah.
Was that your first time to leave the country and visit Africa or Kenya or Somalia?
Yeah, it was my first time.
How long were you there?
I was there for about 3 months.
What was your experience initially before you go? What were you thinking Were you anxious to see? Were you afraid? Were you worried? Were you happy? And tell me about your experience also when you get there.
I was scared that my mom was not going to bring me back.
One of those duck and Elisa. Yeah. So you were worried about that and you were not happy traveling there, right?
Yes, that was one thing though. Like, that was in my mind. That was one thing that was in my mind that I was scared of. And I keep thinking about during the plane ride, during the car ride to like where I'm going to sleep, during all that. That's the thing I'm thinking about. But my experience there, it was not as bad when I got used to it. Mm-hmm. But like when I got there, I was like, what is this place? Like, why am I here? And because that experience from like coming from places that have clean roads and like the like big cars and like big roads and stuff like that. I'm not used to that environment, but as soon as I like met cousins, met stuff, I got used to it. And I became more active outside, like going to Dixie, coming back, getting more active. Then when I was leaving, that's like when it got emotional. Like, that's when it got, like, do I want to stay? Do I like here? That's when I questioned myself.
Wow. So that experience has changed you from being afraid to really wanting it to be there.
Yeah.
And what exactly stands out that made you stay there? Was there a family meeting or learning about your extended family where everybody's your cousin, uncle, or was the marketplace, or was the friends you met, or the neighbors, or the awkward-looking city streets? Or what was it?
It was like my mom wanted me to go back there and just finish Quran. And thankfully, I did. Just, like, stay there and, like, my cousin, she wanted me to stay there. She actually, that was her intention. Her wanted me to stay there. But luckily, I begged my mom and me and my brother begged there, my older brother. And then she brought us back. And then she just wanted us to learn our roots, to change, to be better humans. And that helped me or matured me. And I'm thankful that I got to go there and see, like, people that don't have stuff so I could be more grateful.
So are you now grateful of your life here, right here in West Bank, in Minneapolis, Minnesota? Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm grateful for everything I have in general. Like, I'm grateful for everything right now because people over there, they do not have a lot of stuff that we have right now as I'm speaking. But people over there don't have stuff that we have, so I'm thankful, yes.
And what else does experience give you? For example, you wake up in your community right here and see the riverside, you go to school. Do you understand now we have a very good schools, better schools than anybody else you have seen so far?
Yes.
Do you appreciate your teachers and your classrooms and the resources you have?
Yes, I appreciate it.
And what about the gym? Did you have access to a gym where you were one of the elected leaders of your neighborhood youth council over there?
No, the gyms over there, like, they're not, like, good. Some of the rich parts in Nairobi, like, downtown, they have some nice gyms over there, but, like, not as places. So I'm thankful for the gym that I have in my community.
What makes you, for my last question, Muhammad, since you are one of the leaders here in the community, how old are you now?
I'm 14 years old right now.
And you are one of the elected to the council, youth council in Cedar Riverside.
Yes.
And what are you thinking now to accomplish in your capacity as a leader, elected leader, than you haven't had in your mind before you left and gained this experience?
I want to become more of a leader to kids that's younger than me. And I want to, like, change, like, I want more kids to want to be a youth council and, like, want to come to Cedar Riverside. And I just say, oh, Cedar Riverside is a bad place. That's, like, where shootings happen. That's, like, where the gang members stay. I don't want kids to think that. I want kids to think, oh, oh, let's go hoop at Cedar, let's go play at Cedar, let's go to a program at Cedar, let's just go check it out. That's what I want kids to think, because later when they check it out, they're going to say, oh, what a good program here is at Cedar going on. Mm. And then they're going to want to stay. So that's why I want to change and be a leader. And
that's exactly the same goal we have together in this community, all of us. We seem that we are one of the best neighborhoods and communities, as far as I know, in the state. And a lot of people might not think that way. So now you, one of your goals after your trip is to educate people and young people that, hey, come here, we can have fun and do things, and you will see for yourself what kind of a great community this is.
Yes.
Thank you. Coach Weber, this is an amazing experience, and you've been working with these youth in Cedar Riverside for a long time. You've been coaching them, teaching them, and you are them, and you see this kind of experiences. How often do you see your youth going with their parents overseas and coming back and having a completely different mindset?
It happens a lot, and it makes me excited for them. Mohammed, he didn't tell you how nervous he was before, like really nervous he was before he was leaving. And, you know, of course, his friends are all saying, your mom's taking you there. She's never bringing you back. You know, friends were not helping either. So they were making him extra nervous. But we had talked to his dad and stuff, and we knew he was coming back. And that happens a lot where, you know, our youth and stuff, they go and they go with their families and they have that experience, and they get that experience too of, do I want to stay? You know, this is my family. This is where I'm from. This is, or do I go back to what I know and have known before? And I think about that too, from how that must be for the parents. And I think, wow, you know, that the parents will want their children to know where they've come from. And it's such a connector, and we have really deep conversations, or, you know, youth too that get to go to Umrah and get to go and have that experience. The conversations afterwards are just deep and long about, you know, just how it changes their trajectory and the focus of their life. That here in America and social media and phones and all of these things, they are impacting our youth and all of us, to be honest, in ways that can make us very ungrateful and very unappreciative of all of the freedoms and the rights and the experiences and the opportunities we are afforded here. Mm-hmm. And it changes the perspective of so many youth, and it's just a beautiful gift that the families can give to their children and connect them. I was fortunate enough, my dad is German. Mm-hmm. And my dad happened to have found where we come from. Mm-hmm. And he was the first person since 1892 was when his great-grandfather had left. And my dad was the first one to get to go back there. And he found the village where our family had come from and stuff. And I was the first one from my generation, and still the first one from my generation, to ever get to go back there. And I got to go spend time with my dad back there, and I think about those experiences and how that impacted me to think about how, you know, two boys 16 and 18 years old left with $2 between them in 1892 and got on a ship and never went back. That the relatives and stuff over there talked about them, that they were the living dead, because they assumed that they had lived their journey and stuff, but they didn't know for sure. And I think about now, and you know, just get on WhatsApp and you can call, or you can text and you can message and stuff. So even a world away, you can still be in contact with your family and people from other places. But just what a journey it is for anyone to pick up from where your family roots are and to go to a whole new environment and place and language, and then to get to go back and to get to experience that, it's so powerful for our youth. And it's just, like I said, it's a great gift that their families can give them.
It's really interesting. And it's a great story that you hear almost every day from your youth and their families and the community. And I'm really, this is the first time I talked to a young man from Minneapolis, from the community at this age, and went back and talked about his own genuine experience right here at the KFI station, and sharing with thousands of people, maybe. And it's a beautiful story. Muhammad, I want to ask you one more question. Was there a sense of community where you went to? It might not be like in Cedar Riverside, but did you see a sense of community where people know each other, share things, work together, do things, stuff together?
Yeah, there was a sense of community. Like, it's just when you're in a community, you get a different feeling. You get a feeling that you are with people. You are with people. You could get help. You could get directions to places. And just like when you're in a community and you're like, you're not in a community. Like when you're at the mall or something, and then you're in a community, it's two different things. Like in your mindset and in your surroundings, you could say, oh, I know that person. Oh, that person, I know he will help me. That type of stuff. That's like it's a different feeling. And where I was, I did not know like a lot of people. Of course I know my cousins, but my cousins lived like a little bit away from me. So where I was, my mom had like me and my mom, my brother had to see like different people and talk, learn different people, and then that's when we learned the community. Like that's where we learned community in Africa, and that's where like it started, and then it came to an end, unfortunately.
Have you met young boys or girls your age?
Yes.
And did you guys talk? What did they ask you?
Yeah, there was a bunch of kids like my age, and yeah, my cousins, they're around my age, and there was a bunch of them, like a bunch.
Yeah.
And then they kept asking me, how's America? How's America? Yeah. Of course, they called me names and stuff. Like, they called me Dakan Ali, DC. They called me names, of course.
And like, you know, you're a bad kid. You're returning to be rehabilitated for Dakan Ali.
Yeah, because, like, I had long hair. When I left, I had, like, long hair, but it wasn't that long. It was, like, a little bit longer than my hair right now. Mm-hmm. And then I went there, and then they were like, why does this kid have long hair? And then they said, yeah, he's a goner, bro. He's like he's about to stay. And then they kept like saying stuff. And then I went to like a soccer, because over there the main sport is soccer. And then I just went over there, and then I went to a soccer field one day. My cousins took me. And then same thing over there too. Where they said same thing. Like they just say, oh, DC, and then but you make friends though. There's some kids that are nice. You make friends. Okay. I had a bunch of friends.
Okay, and but they were, was your big hair or tall hair really standing out to everyone? Were they giving them some sort of what your hair was telling them?
My hair was telling them that I'm an American boy. Like they when they see my hair, they could tell like right away that I'm not from Africa. Like,
yeah, because people kept their hair short, boys.
Yeah, it was because of like Duxie. It was because of Duxie.
Yeah,
like over here, you know how the man is gonna tell you like to cut your hair and stuff.
Yeah,
over there it's a force. Or they're gonna bring a guy to you, like to make it. He's gonna cut your hair in the masjid.
Whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not.
But here, the Quranic teacher Sunday school will tell you. Will ask you.
Yeah, they will talk to you over here. Over there, there's no talking, and they're like,
you gotta do it.
You gotta do it. Like so, I was there for like a little bit, and then my mom took me to Duxie. Because I thought I was there for vacation. I was just chilling. No Duxie, just chilling. My mom took me to Duxie. And then my mom talked to me first. She said, oh, you have to cut your hair, okay? She said, now you're in Africa now. Like, over here is different stuff. And you have to cut, okay? And I went to Duxie. And then kids from here to Africa, they already know. Like, they already know what to do. Get a bonnet or something, cover your hair, get a hoodie. I didn't know none of that. So I came up to Duxie, my hair looking rusty. Just like, and then my mom just got to just cut my hair.
Maalim is the teacher.
Yeah. Okay. Just cut my hair. Made it messed up. I had to go to a barbershop. Cut my hair.
So, did you feel like you were in boot camp sometimes, or?
Yeah, I felt like I was in boot camp. It's kind of abuse. Like.
Like they don't ask you, you have to do it.
Yes.
Yeah. So Muhammad, what about language? Do you have a language problem with other
kids?
Yeah,
in the beginning. In the beginning, I had a language problem. And then I had this tuition. Mm. And then I learned a little bit of Swahili. Mm. And then I learned a bit
Swahili, that's a Kenyan language.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I learned a little bit. Mm. And then after, I knew Somali. At a young age, my grandma taught me how to speak Somali. Mm. So I already knew the language. Mm. So it wasn't that hard for me in the beginning. It was, and then my little brother, he made friends from day one.
I know your little brother.
He made friends from day one. He knew the language. He taught me some on his own. So. And Duxie over there too is crazy. Yeah. You go 5 times a day straight, get break 2 times, and then those 2 times, if you don't like better pass, you even go. So it was like school, but like Duxie.
So you really take a crash course of the Quran.
Yeah.
Okay. Coach Uber, this is really a great experience. And I want to, Coach, Of course, we talked about the volleyball, but I see a lot of notices of what's happening with you on the youth at Brian Coyle. What is this? You had a SmackDown for about 3 days, SmackDown basketball.
Oh, yeah, we had the Coyle Cup for basketball. That's over winter break. Mm. Then we had the volleyball tournaments are the Winter Slam and all of the Spring SmackDown. We're trying to have volleyball tournaments for everyone so that we can get 4 in a year so that we can see who's the best volleyball players in the neighborhood. Yep. You know, we all like competition. So the volleyball tournaments are becoming very popular now that we have 2 courts. Really thank you to West Bank Business Association for helping out to... Oh. Help us fund that second set of volleyball. The first set we got as a donation from Augsburg University. Mm. And then we got together with Park Board and we got the sleeves put in the floor. Finally, after that floor has been in there for 12 years, we finally got the volleyball sleeves put in the floor. Yeah. And so now we have full 2-set side-by-side volleyball. So now we can run tournaments and stuff in there for that. We have winter... basketball, park board basketball for our youth, and then we have fall league for our high school athletes. Really excited that we had our first young people that were part of the South High School basketball team that went all the way to state this year.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah, my daughter goes there all the time. She's part of the South High, Aisha, of course, so she was in your program.
Yes, and so we had two young men, some of them also from the team had also participated in our fall league, which is a really grassroots opportunity. Sports in America costs a small fortune. Somebody was saying it's a $350 billion industry is sports in America. Hmm. And that, I think, is an understatement for how important sports is to a lot of American people. As you can tell by March Madness and where we're at right now with all the people that are watching, Caitlin Clark and all of the women's side, and as well as the men's. So it's sport is very king here in America, and it's a way, it's a connector. You know, it's a I always talk about sport as being the great equalizer, that you will find people, even like with our athletics and stuff, that would never come to the neighborhood, but they come because their kids are coming to the neighborhood because they need to play in a game at Brian Coyle Community Center.
Yeah.
And so my favorite memory of this winter and having and hosting basketball and different things was we had a team that was obviously from the southwest side of the Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to be walking behind a couple of parents that were standing looking at the board that I keep all of the schedules on there at the gym. And they were like, look at all this stuff that they have going on here. This is more than we have going on at our park. And I'm like, yes, that is the sign of success that I'm
That's the spirit. Was, yes.
Yeah, but yes, we do have a tremendous amount of things happening. And that is because we've heeded the call by our youth, and that it is important to me as a youth worker, as a teacher, as an educator, as a second mom, however, whatever relationship we have, is that our youth will tell us what they need, and then we have to respond and try and make those things possible. And so that's why that board is so full, and why we have so many things going on, is because that's what our youth need. And I mean, that's really how the youth council got started up, is, you know, the youth said, hey, Coach Weber, people keep blaming us for all the different things around this city, and that this is our fault and that's our fault, but we don't have a voice, and we need to have a voice, and so can you help us? And so that's where we had the youth summit, the first one, and we had the elections, and the youth elected their own people, and really proud that we're coming up on the third annual youth summit here on Thursday, May 2nd. They changed it from a Saturday. They're going to try an evening, so a 3 to 8:30 event where dinner will be included and lots of different classes. We already have a car care class scheduled, so you can learn how to take care of your car, because it's the most expensive thing that a youth is going to invest in.
And when is that class?
Those classes are going to be during the Youth Summit. So the Cedar Riverside Youth Summit is May 2nd. It's a Thursday, and it'll be from 3 to 8:30.
Oh, okay.
So
wonderful.
You can take that class. You can take finances. You can take education. There's all kinds of classes. It's just like a conference that you go to, but it's all geared around our youth and them speaking out and speaking for themselves about what they need.
Those things are really important, because as those youth transition into adults or youth with cars, every kid I know wants a car.
Everybody wants a car. They gotta
know how to fix their car, or at least the basic things about cars, and also finance. You know, it's time when those financial institutions will send them credit cards and stuff like that.
Oh, yes.
So I think those two are very, very important. Hey, if you are just joining us, this is Abdurizak Bihi from Somali Link Radio at KFAI 90.3 FM. Our guest today, which we have almost every year, is Coach Jennifer Weber, and of the Brian Coyle, and also at Cedar Riverside Community Traveling Basketball, at also Cedar Riverside Athletic and Enrichment, and that's a lot of programs. And Coach Weber was also featured in the March Madness Final Four Women's Basketball here in Minneapolis. Was that 2019, Coach?
Yeah, it was 2019, 5 years ago.
It feels like if you watch that video that CBS featured, out of all Minnesota, the Cedar Riverside and the coach and the Cedar Riverside Youth Council and the youth programming here. And I think you should watch that. It's Venom. It's CBS.
Yeah.
And I can share that. You can always see that at Coach Weber. Where can people watch that video?
We're on Facebook and Instagram under Cedar Riverside Athletics or Cedar Athletics. And the videos are connected there. I just posted it out because it's crazy to see.
5 years ago.
Yeah, 5 years ago, the pandemic years. I think that's what still messes me up. Why I feel like I should get a couple extra years. But it was amazing. For you know, I thought they were joking when they reached out and said, "This is CBS, and we want to do a story about your basketball program." And I'm like, us? Okay. Yeah. And I will say that they are the first ones that I feel like told the real story about, you know, why we have athletics, why any place has athletics. Athletics supports academics. Athletics supports the growth that young people need to make from you know, adolescence to adulthood and stuff. That so much of sports, whether it's, you know, communication, commitment, teamwork, you know, that all translates into the work that you do and being a good community member. And so it's a learning environment. It's like I talked about, that we have these opportunities for the little kids to come and learn and play. Education has taken a lot of the play out of education, and that's, I think, understimulates our brains and understimulates our systems in our body that help create healthy human beings. And so through that play is how we help our youth grow into being the humans they were meant to be.
And Coach, so I just want to tell the audience that we are also talking about the Youth Council, and Coach Huber, they do annual iftar. Is this, Coach, the second or third year?
This is the second year.
Second year. The annual iftar, Coach, what is that?
So it is a dinner, a time to come together for our neighbors and community members that are fasting, to come and break their fast together. And it's really about community, and it's hosted by our youth. This was their idea. They said, we need this. And I said, I don't know how we're going to fund that, because the city doesn't pay for food for any of our grants. We can't pay for food, so we have to go out and get donations and get people to buy in that this is a really important event. And the youth went out and did that. And from the different businesses, from the Augsburg, the Cedar Riverside Community Council, the West Bank Business Association, the Athletic Association, and of course Brian Coyle Community Center and PUC that supported and give us the space and the kitchen to be able to bring in all that food. And the different businesses, from, you know, Oasis to Afro Deli to West Bank to, you know, Najib, we ask them, we say, okay, we've got $350 for food from you. And we go to pick it up, and it's like, this is not $350 for food. This is like so much food. their generosity and their kindness for the iftar meal is really just outstanding.
Yeah.
And it's just such a beautiful time for our youth to bring their families in, to break their fast together with other families, with other youth, and to spend that time together. Our families are so busy, and this is during Ramadan is a time to slow down a little bit and to have that chance to enjoy that time together and that conversation, and just be reflective and be together.
I'm just, if you're just joining us, this is Abduri Sagbi, Somali Link Radio at KFAI FM 90.3. And my guest today is Coach Huber, and also one of the elected committee member of Cedar Riverside Youth Council, Mohammed. And they are here also to invite you. We've been talking about all these amazing youth programs that you can get involved, or you can bring your kids to get involved. But also, the most important thing is we are talking about the iftar community dinner, the second annual that the Youth Council are hosting. And Coach Huber just talked about that. You are invited. Coach, when is it? April 2nd? What day is that?
Oh, no, it's April Thursday.
I'm sorry, April 4th. Yeah.
The doors open at 6:30, and we always say every good party ends with question mark, but we're hoping to have kind of cleaned up by like 9:50, get everybody home because they still got school the next day. Oh, no, it's spring break. A lot of them will be off on spring break. So it's at Brian Coyle Community Center, and it's open for everyone. You don't have to be Muslim to come and join your neighbors and join in a meal and share in community. And I mean, this really is what community looks like.
Yes,
110% what community looks like and feels like is the iftar dinner and being together and supporting one another and just being in community.
Wonderful, Coach. And Mohammed, tell me that's not it in terms of community hosting. After the community iftar on April 4th, where you invited everybody to come and break bread with each other and the community, there's also Community Week.
Yeah, the Community Service Week is led by the youth again. They have 6 days over spring break, so it's Minneapolis spring break next week, and so there's some kids that won't be on spring break. They already had it during actual what it looked like spring.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like spring outside right now. But hopefully with the warm weather we'll have over the weekend, it'll be ready. And so next week, the Youth Council is hosting every day from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, a chance for anyone to come and join us and be in service to our community. And that is on Monday, we're doing a community cleanup. So just going out into the community and doing that cleanup after so much of a long winter. Tuesday, again, 3 to 5, we're packing care packages for our community members in need. So putting together those annual care packages that we've been doing for the last few years and getting those out to the neighbors. Wednesday, we are doing some elders garden prep. Again, hopefully the warm weather will get rid of a lot of the snow, but we're going to go and remove some sod and get some gardens ready for elders that they can access right near their homes and grow food and grow flowers and just get their hands in the dirt this summer. And so helping them get those places ready. Then on Thursday, it's Generosity Art Day. And so we are meeting at Brian Quayle and spending the time creating art, all different forms of art, but pieces that we can give back to the community businesses that do so much to support the work that the Youth Council, because this isn't our only event. You know, we go to them and we have the back to school bash, we have the fall fest, we have we had hosted our first ever lock-in at Brian Quayle. We all spent the night at Brian Quayle from 8 p.m. at night till 8 a.m. in the morning, and there was no sleeping. It was everyone stay awake all night. So that was, we have all kinds of events throughout the year so that our youth and our community can come together. On Friday is community playtime, and that is really for our young people, but for everyone to come and play. We have everything from bubbles to football to any kind of different activities that you can think of. We'll have them and have them available for the kids to play, and equipment for them to use. That is part of the Sports Check It Out program that Behe helped us get voted in for that all those years ago and stuff, and got funding to be able to buy all that equipment. So we have lots of equipment from Sports Check It Out for that day. And then Saturday we'll be doing delivery of the care packages out to the larger community. So it's really a chance to just give back to the community that does so much for the youth and gives them a place and to be welcome and be themselves.
Thank you. And if you are just joining us, this is Abir Isaac Behe. I'm talking to Coach Jennifer Weber and the Youth Cedar Riverside Youth Council. And Mahat, the president, just joined us at the end of our program. And before I talk to Mahat, the president, young president of the Youth Council, Cedar Riverside Youth Council, let's hear this important message.
KFAI presents Great Moments in Minnesota Ingenuity. Today, we take you back to 1954 and an intrepid explorer.
Volcanoes are amazing. I wish I could eat one.
Thus, the Juicy Lucy was born. Just like KFAI, its non-commercial, community-powered radio is full of hot and tasty surprises.
Ah!
Won't fill your mouth with scar tissue. KFAI, we're on a roll.
KFAI broadcasts with support from the Walker Arts Center, offering interactive tours of the galleries and the sculpture garden for school groups of all ages. Customized tours for specific classroom needs and bus funding is available. More info at walkerart.org.
So my sister says to me, donate your old car to KFAI. And I say to her, you mean just give it away? You're crazy. Then my sister says, okay, how much is that car worth to you? And I say, nothing. She says, what would a dealer give you? And I say, nothing. And she says, well, it's worth something to KFAI. Give it to them, and they'll get some money for it and use it to make the radio you love. I know she's right, but I say, I bet it's hard to do. And she says, no, just go to their website, fill out a form, and that's it. They haul your car away and you're done, except that you might get a tax deduction. And I say, I guess Mom was right after all. You are smarter than me. And my sister just smiles.
Go to KFAI.org, click donate, and scroll down to vehicle.
Programming is supported by the Trilon, presenting the Ramsey Brothers' Bizarro Bollywood. This two-film series celebrates directors Shyam and Tulsi Ramsey. In Virana, Jasmine is mistakenly possessed as a child and becomes a murdering seductress. The second film, Mahakal, is a Bollywood retelling of The Nightmare on Elm Street. Showings at the Trilon Cinema are March 29th through the 31st. More information at trilon.org.
Welcome back. Mahat.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Tell us about the weather today that kept you away from us.
Oh.
I love the snow, but it wasn't... I thought we were going to see rain today. That's what I said this morning, but then it started snowing. So I've been... It took me a while to get here, but I'm glad to join you guys today.
Thank you. We've been talking about... we had a great conversation, Coach Weber, and... Mohammed, your team, the council,
yes,
were gracious enough to share with us what's coming up. Mahad, you're still the president of the council, right?
Yes.
Wonderful. And Mahad, could you send a message? Because Coach Weber and Mohammed said they're inviting not only the community members for this iftar, second annual iftar or dinner, that the Youth Council hosted.
Yeah.
That's coming up on April 4th at the Brian Coyle.
Mm-hmm.
They said they just don't want to invite the neighborhood. They want to invite everyone, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Christian, whether you're Jewish, Buddhist, or any religion, or you don't believe anything, as long as you're a human being or a family member or anyone or a single person. We want to invite and share our culture, our hospitality, our issues, our programs, our fun, and our community with everyone. So what kind of a message would you share with the audience by inviting them?
Like I said, first of all, thank you to Coach Weber and Mohammed for holding on the fort as I get here. Like they said, we want to invite everyone. This is how we build a community, how we get people to know people more. We want to do this iftar dinner, like you said. It's not just for Muslim people, like how you said, and inviting more people and connecting with other people just builds more connections. You never know the person that comes in that gym can do for you tomorrow or the next day and how you meeting them. So our plan is to just inviting everyone will work, and everyone is welcome, like you said, Bihi. And hopefully we can get some good numbers, because last year we did get some good numbers and it was amazing. And a lot of people got to connect with each other. So we're planning to keep doing this and keeping this annually, inshallah. So if you guys can please join us again on Thursday.
Thank you, Mahad. Mahad is the president of the Cedar Riverside Youth Council. And he's not like self-elected like Bihi, but he's elected. And Mohammed, I want to also say thank you for sharing with us your experiences going over to your roots in East Africa, Kenya and Somalia. That was a great experience. And we are coming to the end of our show, but I want to share with the community there's something new that the Youth Council and also Coach Weber are doing this time. They are trying to buy something in their building. Coach, tell us about that.
So we're always in need of funding, you know, when you're working with youth and you're working in sports and athletics and extracurricular activities, whether it's field trips or tournament fees or uniforms or all of these things, there's always an expense, and we really try and keep any of our costs to our families and our community to a minimum. You've seen us washing people's cars and having garage sales, and that's where you bought a bike from us, that garage sale. We have gotten really creative in ways to get money. And so the biggest idea that we have had is we have a concession stand that we run during our men's leagues and our volleyball tournaments and our youth leagues and stuff. And so we started to ask around about the vending machines, because we were like, if we could make a little bit of money from the concession stand, if we could have the vending machines, then that would be really a great thing in Brian Quayle. And so we started asking around and talked to Amano, and he said, yeah, we would love to have the youth council have a vending machine. And I was like, yay, super exciting. And so I went back to the youth council and the athletic association, and I, you know, told them about this. And then I started looking at the cost of vending machines, and I was, whoa, $6,000 for a vending machine. That'll probably last for 15 years, they say, and it'll pay for itself over and over again. But still, that initial investment of that much funding is, you know, when we have so many other places for that funding to go, is how do you come up with the capital and that money? And so we really worked really hard on writing up a proposal to have internships and stuff around entrepreneurship with our concession stand. And so adding in vending machine business in there and showing youth that, you know, this is a possibility for them too, and doing the research and finding it, and then finding a vendor that would give us a discount on the vending machine and help us with product and stuff. So this has been a year and a half about of negotiation, and we've been saving money from the concession stand where we can, don't have expenses that the money has to go out. So we've raised about $3,000, and we are about $2,000 short for that yet, and still trying to raise that money. But that will become a sustainable way for us to continue to have a funding stream, even when we don't have leagues, when we don't have different things happening, and that it's unrestricted in that it can be used for food, because like I said, the city grants and things like that, they don't pay for food. And how do you bring youth together if you don't have food? How do you bring anybody together if you don't have food? We all like food. So it's a funding source that we think will create sustainability, and that's the ultimate goal of the Athletic Association and the Youth Council, is that the youth that are coming after these groups of youth are, is that they just take for granted that this is even there for them. So
thank you.
It will really create that.
Thank you. And Coach, we've got about 20 seconds. And how would people donate to support that or support the program?
We have funding spots on all of our social media. So Cedar Riverside Athletics, reach out there. Reach out to Behe. He'll have a connection on his site. And you can always just reach out to Brian Quayle, and they can get you in contact with me.
Thank you, Mr. President. Do you have anything to say last 5 seconds?
I'll make sure I see you guys all on Thursday.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was Coach Jennifer Weber, the amazing angel in Cedar Riverside, and Mohammed, the member of the elected Cedar Riverside Council, Youth Council, and of course, Mahat, who is the president of the Cedar Riverside Youth Council. Don't forget, show up for free food and fun. Everybody is welcome on April 4th at the Brian Quayle from 6:30 till 9. Food, free, fun, free. Get to meet your neighbors. You don't have to be Muslim or East African or from the neighborhood. We are inviting everyone to come. And of course, before then, April 2nd, we have another huge iftar. Congress Ilhan Omar, she's also doing her annual iftar at Brian Quayle, the same place. Yesterday, I went to Oasis Iftar. I love the Ramadan. That's the most time I eat a lot of food for free. Thank you, guys, and stay safe in the snow and have a fun. Good night.
KFAI is proud to present Scary Pockets at the Fine Line on Friday, April 5th. Scary Pockets are a rotating roster of world-class musicians who release live funk reimaginations of familiar songs every week. The 2024 Scary Pockets tour band will feature guitarist and co-founder Ryan Lerman, as well as fan favorites from the revolving cast of musicians. Tickets for Scary Pockets can be found at the First Avenue website. Visit first-avenue.com for more details.
KFAI is proud to present Anat Cohen and Marcelo Gonsalves at the Dakota, performing on Thursday, April 4th. Clarinetist Anat Cohen and seven-string guitarist Marcelo Gonsalves team together in a series of intimate, lyrical duets based on groundbreaking compositions by the Brazilian composer Moacir Santos.